We are today doing this interview in one of the not that many Latino restaurants here in Syracuse, Las Delicias, and that's why you hear the sound, the music, and I think this is a perfect place to talk about food.
Of course,
and, yes, and
this
culture.
Is a very appropriate place.
Lydia, welcome, and thank you for talking to us.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here. And as you and I have sat down before,
yes,
that I have a great interest in food and culture, because there is a lot of what I call food identity and culture identity. Exchanging food traditions between groups is important. And one of the things I've been researching is the traditions of other cultures and how they have been infused into the Americas. And when I say the Americas, I like to say the Americas because I'm not just including the United States. I'm talking about North America, Central America, and South America, because it is a whole continent. It's
right.
Just not a, you know, we're part of that whole continent, and that infusion of foods into this culture. Well, I'm born in Guatemala. Breakfast consisted of bread, huevos, arroz rancheros, very real little cereal. We never ate much cereal in our home, and as a result, we still don't. Even the kids now still don't. Some of them do, but most of them don't. Came to the States when I was very young. So as a result, I was introduced to the American cuisine at a very young age. However, I remember as a young kid not liking pizza. When I first was introduced to pizza, it was the most horrible thing I have ever seen and smelled. Today, I love pizza, of course, but you know, as a child, when you come into a country, or when you take a child out of this country to other countries, they have that tendency to smell things to make sure that it's up to their standards.
Yeah, usually kids are picky eaters to begin
picky
with.
Picky eaters, right. You know, I wasn't such a picky eater. So I was just that, you know, well, I'm not, my father went out, you know, my mom had to go to an emergency visit to Guatemala. And so my father doesn't cook. You know, traditionally a lot of my Latino men don't cook. And my father came from that tradition. So he went out and he got us a pizza pie. And my brother and I looked at him and we were like, we're not eating that. We said, we want our rice and beans. And so my aunt, my tia Paula, may God bless her soul, she went upstairs and she made us some rice, some beans, and some chicken. At 11 o'clock at night, and that's what we ate.
It was an emergency.
It was an emergency. Because we just, you know, he just thought that, well, they're kids, they'll eat anything. No, we were not. So that's how I know that it's important. It's important, too.
How old were you when you came to the United States?
I was five.
And you moved from Guatemala to what part of the United States?
I moved to New York City. I remember I lived on Trinity Avenue. I always remember that. And I went to school right across the street, PS 51, which is no longer there. And I really stayed in New York until I left to go to school, to come to college. There are so many wonderful delicacies and fruits and vegetables that accompany our culture. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to sort of concentrate on one, which is one of the ones I like, plantains, plátanos. Mm-hmm. And the reason I want to introduce plátanos because, you know, for years I did presentations on food and culture at different sites, you know, places, colleges, and so forth. And I always talked about plátanos coming from Africa. And coming in from doing further research, I found out that they originally came from Asia. To find that out, you know, after years of saying, oh no, they originally came from Africa, so we have the African infusion into our Latino cuisine. No, they came from Asia. From Asia, mm-hmm, they went to Africa. From Africa, they came to the United States and into the Americas. But the reason I say plátanos o guineos o lo que tú le quieres llamar is because it's incorporated so much into Latin food. You know, whether you live in the city, you live in the coast, or you live out in the mountain, wherever you go, you're going to find plátanos.
Tostones.
¿Qué más? Hacemos una cosa que se llama machuca, que lo hacen en Puerto Barrios, throughout the coast, mm-hmm, because that's where a lot of the people of color live, mm-hmm, in the Guatemalan lands. So there's a lot of coconut use. It's a lot. Piñas. And so forth. And of course, masa harina or corn, which is used a lot. Going back to plátanos, I know I like them in any kind of way that they come, but I like them tostones, if you know what tostones are.
With the garlic
sauce and so forth. Now that's more of a Dominican sort of dish, but I like it. Me gustan así plátanos maduros fritos, because it goes with any kind of dish. It can go with fish, con cualquier clase de carne. Plátanos is a very versatile fruit, however you want to, or vegetables, however you want to call it. Some people consider it both. Like I said, we make something called machuca, which is one of the traditional dishes, and it's made out of, you have coconut milk, you put it in, you boil it. You can either put in fried fish into that, or you can put, you know, your raw fish, because the milk will cook it. Le pones un poquito de sal, pimienta. My grandmother used to use oregano when she would make hers, and I love the way she made it. My grandmother was a great cook. And from her, I learned how to set a table. She was great with setting tables and things like that. She made you want to eat at her house because she was presented in a very elegant way. And I don't care whether it was breakfast, lunch, or dinner, you know. But I also have to remember that back in the old days, during that time, La mi abuela viene de una generación donde la mujer era de su casa. Entonces, cuando tú presentabas una comida, lo presentabas elegantemente, you know. Mientras ahora, como, you know, we go by McDonald's, right?
Yes.
But eating at my grandmother's house was an event for me. I like to see some of that come back to us.
It creates memories.
It creates great memories. It creates an appreciation for your culture and the foods of your culture. Since we're talking about plátanos, I'm gonna, you know, plátanos can be served. You had some tostones earlier, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, I love plátanos also con frijoles volteados. You never had it that way. But I've had it that way, because sometimes in the mornings, if you didn't have bread, you always have plátanos. So you would have plátanos and frijoles and chorizo. Do you know what chorizo is, or longaniza?
Yeah, in Mexico we have chorizo.
Chorizo. Mm-hmm. So you would have that.
And a sausage, spicy. It could be many. Oh, they have hundreds
of types of them. But plátanos can be eaten for breakfast, for lunch, or for dinner, whichever way you choose. And also in our culture, in the Guatemalan culture, the largest portion of your meal is your lunch, is your midday meal. You have a small breakfast, a big lunch, and then dinner is small. It's never big. It wasn't until I came to this country that I realized, you know, I was introduced to this big meal for dinner. And then, como te dije, el almuerzo es lo más grande. Ahí tú tienes tu arroz, tus frijoles, whatever kind of meat you're eating that day. Plátanos, of course. There's always plátanos. Y la otra cosa que siempre tenemos en la mesa son tortillas.
Tortillas.
That's what I'm trying to say. So when you sit down.
Are they a little bit different than Mexican tortillas?
No, they're the same, actually. If you don't know the history of your food, you don't know what you're eating. You know, when it comes to the rice, the beans, they have a history. They come from someplace. Some things came from the States, you know, of course. But there's a lot of things that other cultures brought in, like the Spanish culture brought in some things. The African culture brought in some things. And then there was the Europeans who came in here. There were some things that were here already, you know, provided by the Native Americans that were here. But, you know, the one thing that I think really puts us all together, connects all of us, is corn. Because if you're in the United States, there are different ways to make corn. If you're in Central America, corn is there. If you're in South America, corn is there. But corn was here with the Native Americans. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that connects us all. And corn was not something that was in brought to us, if I understand that correctly. It was something that was already here. I think that's one of the things that, you know, that connects all of us. Porque si vas al sur, se hace cornbread. Se hace también aquí en el norte, pero también se hace en el sur. And I had told you earlier today that when we were talking about traditions and Thanksgiving traditions, traditionally in our table, we would have turkey, but we had other dishes that were more Guatemalan dishes, like I said, el arroz blanco con hecho con coco, and also pernil. You know, como se dice, cerdo asado. Mm-hmm. We also had that on the table because some people didn't like turkey. Frijoles or habichuelas, as you would call it, that was part of our table. And also squash. There's something that we call it huizquil. We put it in soup. We also call it, we also cook it aside. What did they call it? I forgot what they call it here, but it's green squash. It's small and it's green, sort of like a baby green color. Mm-hmm. I forgot what they call it here, but those are some of the things that are part of our table. And of course now, with my introduction of cornbread dressing, we went from bread dressing to cornbread dressing, which they love. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the traditions that we have in our household and still do. Changing a little bit with the new generation,
right?
But you know, we still do, because when somebody looks at me, they're gonna think that I'm African American, and I'm not. I'm a Latin. I'm Latin, yes, but I'm Afro Latin, which is what I consider myself, and I do embrace both of my cultures. Some of the foods that I'm talking about, such as plátanos, not originally from Africa, but they were brought in by Africans into the Americas. Mm-hmm. And it's become such an important part of our Latino cuisine. I can't think of any place other than corn, things made out of corn that plantains have not invaded, not just in the mainland, which is the continent itself, but also the Caribbean, the island people. You know, you find plátanos and you find guineos everywhere you go. And what do I? I've been a member of the community for many, many years. I came here to go to school. Obviously, I've stayed. I keep telling myself I'm only staying a while still. But I've evolved because I've come to learn to also love some things that are from Syracuse, you know.
You need to be.
Yeah, you need to evolve. I'm glad to see that there is at least 3 Latino restaurants in Syracuse, because when I first came to Syracuse, we did not have that. There were no Latino restaurants at all. You know, here we have Las Delicias.
Mm-hmm. El Tropical.
El Tropical.
La Casa del Té, but they
La Casa del Té,
but other still
she's catering,
yes,
still,
other
so
Rio.
That's good. Don Juan,
El Canelo, and then we have La Misión. I think they have good food.
They do, but it's more like an international infusion,
right,
to me. It's not cuando yo pienso de comida auténtica latina, es como venir aquí a las Delicias, o es como ir al Tropical, okay. No quiere decir que los otros no tienen valor, porque sí lo tienen, pero a veces yo quiero ir a comer arroz con habichuelas o arroz amarillo en un restaurante latino. It's more like grandma's, you know, cooking. And that's what I, you know, in New York City you have tons of that, which is great to have, but here it's a little different, but I'm glad to see that it's here. Again, I've been, you know, in and about in the community. You know, right now I work at for a government office. I work with Bia Gonzalez and a number of other people involved with a number of community, what I would call community service oriented agencies or committees. you know, like we just, you and I just put the Hispanic Heritage Month together a few months ago. But one of the things I do try to do, because there is such thing as food and culture identity, is to talk about those things. Mm-hmm. You know, it's because I look African American does not mean that I was raised eating collard greens. You know, I love collard greens. My friend introduced me to them, and I love them. Mm-hmm. But I have there's a certain way that I look at food that perhaps my friend does not look at it in the same way. I love my arroz y frijoles. In fact, when I was a kid, when I first got here, that's all I would eat. I know that one of the things I talked to you about that that we used to do at home, and we still do to a certain extent, is that when we had our Thanksgiving table, didn't look like your traditional New England Thanksgiving table. Of course, we had the turkey. We had bread dressing at that time. Now we have corn dressing. I introduced that into our family. We had plátanos fritos. Mm-hmm. Arroz con... Hacemos un arroz que es arroz hecho con coco. Mm-hmm. Y se le pone... it's okay if I talk.
I never tasted.
Es un arroz hecho con coco. Lo puedes hacer con un arroz blanco con coco en vez de usar agua. O puedes hacer un arroz con lo que nosotros le llamamos frijoles, ustedes le llaman habichuelas.
Yo no sé. Los mexicanos también le llaman
frijoles. Entonces, eso siempre ha estado en la mesa para cualquier ocasión que tenemos, ocasión especial. Tenemos también, introducimos macaroni and cheese.
Porque muy americano.
Bien americano, bueno, porque tú sabes que parte de la familia es nacida aquí y ellos tienen, they have the taste for their American foods. I'm going to make you laugh a little bit. I know that my sister, my youngest sister, Nancy, who was born here, I wasn't born here, but she was, when she went to Guatemala, she didn't like the ketchup. So she took a few things with her, just because she wasn't, you know, sure about what she called Guatemalan food. But she took ketchup with her. She took the Bax macaroni and cheese with her. What else did she take? She didn't like the ground, you know, in Central America, we don't eat a lot of ground beef. So she didn't like the way it tasted. So the second time she went, she took frozen ground beef with her. At that time, they were letting all those things out in the... in the plane, I don't know what they do now, but you know, she took certain things with her. Mm-hmm. So it just tells you how
bringing home,
mm-hmm. you know, the home that she knows here in the States. So it just tells you how some of those things, you know, go interchange into our culture. It's called salsa guatemalteca, mm-hmm. and it's a salsa recipe, but I developed my own. You use one large yellow onion, you chop it. One large green pepper chopped, one large red pepper chopped, one large yellow pepper chopped, and you're gonna see that there's a lot of peppers in this, mm-hmm. because I usually make it in the summertime, and in the summertime there's an abundance of zucchini and peppers and you know, onions and things of that sort. So that's why there's a lot of peppers in this particular recipe.
And I love that at the end it might look very colorful, right?
Very beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful salsa is what I call it. It's a beautiful salsa. Three large red tomatoes, one orange jalapeno, it's a half a cup of pineapple juice. Not a half a cup, actually one and one fourth.
Okay.
One third cup of white vinegar, the juice of one lime, or you can also use lemon. I just like lime better. A pinch of sea salt and one cup of fresh cilantro chopped. You add it to the salsa. There's the salsa to me doesn't have any meaning until you add the cilantro to it.
That's right.
You know, so the pineapple, you bring it up to a boil before you add it into the salsa. You know, you let it chill out for about after you're done. You put all the ingredients together. You mix it up. You put it in the refrigerator and you let it chill out for about, I'll say an hour to really let it, you know, concentrate. If you have time, do it overnight so it's really nice and concentrated. remove it from the refrigerator, add a little bit more cilantro. As you can see, I like cilantro a lot.
Yes,
and you can serve it with fresh corn tortillas.
Oh, that's great.
Preferably homemade, tortillas. You know, it'll stay for about 2-3 days. We use it to garnish whatever meal that we're having. Sometimes I use a little bit when I'm making something. So I make a lot of it.
Right.
So that's called salsa guatemalteca.
It's great. And I think we're going to put it on our website, on our blog, if you let us. If that's
Sure.
So that if people didn't have time to write it down, then they can go to palabrasacentuadas.wordpress.com, and there we can find you can find the recipe, and maybe in the future more pictures and of your cooking or the ingredients.